Morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. It's a hot Lord's Day morning, but it's certainly a blessing to be able to assemble like we are on this Lord's Day. We're glad that you're here this morning, and we're especially thankful to be able to welcome those who are visiting with us. And if you are visiting with us today, we would be greatly indebted to you if you might take a card located on the pew in front of you and just fill that out and leave it where you're seated as you leave this morning, but don't rush off too quickly. I hope you'll give us a chance today to express our appreciation to you for being here, and I hope that you'll want to come back and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. Several activities that are going on. We know VBS is right around the corner. That's already been referred to. I know Sister Alame Godwin celebrated her 94th birthday this past Friday. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going to make it to 49, but she has made it to 94. That is great, and we congratulate her on that accomplishment. Also, Brother and Sister Klein, Charlie and Beth Klein, were married 66 years this past Thursday, I believe. And what an accomplishment that is. We love and appreciate the Kleins for the wonderful example they are to us, for the many years of service that they've given to the Lord's church. And so as you see these individuals and as we announce things like this, I hope you'll take the time to congratulate these on these wonderful accomplishments. This morning, for the next few minutes, I want us to talk about a topic that I think is very, very important for us to understand. I think it can challenge us to be better people, to be better servants of God. I want us to talk about genuine faith. When you think about the word genuine, you think about something that is authentic. It is the real deal. Coke had a commercial several years ago. It's the real thing. It is authentic. Many of you, if you look in your Bibles today, and some of you, may be the only reason you take out your Bibles today, you might see genuine leather there on the side of your Bible. You may have bonded leather. Or your Bible may be tattered and torn. It may not say anything like that. It may be just a $4 Bible that you got somewhere. But it's genuine. It's the real thing. It's authentic. I have in my hand today a football ticket. It's useless because the stub has been removed, but it is an authentic, it is a genuine football ticket. And there's certain characteristics about this ticket, the foil, things of that nature that make this ticket authentic. Now, I've seen people who have been taken, and I feel sorry for folks like that. Some big game comes up, and some folks sell a counterfeit ticket. You've heard on the news from time to time about warnings about buying counterfeit tickets. They're not real. And I've known people that have paid hundreds of dollars for some football tickets for a big game, only to get to the gate and find that they're going to be denied entrance because their ticket was not genuine. It wasn't real. And there are ways that you can look at a ticket and you can see from certain patterns and so forth in the foil that this is a genuine ticket. When I look at this particular ticket, I think about the three heart attacks and the two strokes that I suffered as this game was being played, this particular game. So there's a lot of memories there for me, but it's a genuine ticket. And you have to have a genuine ticket in order to get into the game. And I could go on and on and on, and I thought of several ways to illustrate this point, but it's so important for us to have genuine faith, faith that is real, faith that is true. And we got to understand that there is such a thing as true faith, as genuine faith. Now our text here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now that phrase right there in the very outset tells us how important faith is to begin with. If we don't have faith, we can't even begin to please God. Faith is so vital, it's so important if we want to have a relationship with our Creator here upon this earth. And then the Bible goes on to say, for he who comes to God, and I hope that's our desire today, to come to God, we must, number one, believe that he is, but that's not enough. Number two, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, how can I know if my faith is real? How can I know if I have authentic faith, or maybe my faith is counterfeit? It's fake. We have a good definition of faith, I believe, in this same chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. I think most of us can quote it. The King James Version says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like the rendering better, where it says faith is the realization of things hoped for. What are some of the things that we hope for as Christians? Well, number one, we hope for eternal life, don't we? We hope to spend forever with God in that glorious home in heaven that's been prepared for us. These are things that we hope for. We hope for a new body, a body that is immortal and eternal. Faith is the realization. These things are real to us that we hope for. And then I like the rendering, it is the confidence of things not seen. Now we know the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, around verse 18, that the things that are seen are temporary. Just turn your head and look around at all the things that you see today, the things that you will see today. I see this building. I see my physical body. I'll see my house when I head that way sometime later on today. As I drive down the road, I'll drive in my car that I can see, and I may go somewhere that I can see to eat today. Everything that I see visibly, the Bible says those things are temporary. My money is temporary. My land is temporary. Everything that I see here in life is temporary. But the Bible says faith is the confidence of things not seen. Now the things that are seen are going to be destroyed. The things that are not seen are eternal. And so if I have genuine faith, I can't even see. I can't see God with my eyes. I can't see heaven. I can't see eternal life, but I'm just as confident about those things as I am about the things that I see around me. I knew the sun was going to come up this morning if the Lord let the world stand. I had confidence in that. I didn't go to bed last night doubting that for a moment. But genuine faith means I have just as much confidence in all those things that I cannot see, those things that are eternal. And so let's begin this morning. Let's look at a true definition of faith. What is genuine faith? May I suggest to you that genuine faith is not merely an intellectual assent to a truth. Now, if you were to go out and poll the majority of people today in our land, almost all people that we would come into contact with would say they believe in God. Most people who are our neighbors and our co-workers and friends would say that they believe that God is, that there is a God up in heaven who created this world and this universe and everything in it. But genuine faith, authentic faith, involves more than just believing in God, even in a religious way. It's not enough simply to believe that God is. We know the book of James emphasizes the idea that the devils believe, the demons believe in God. They even tremble because of their belief in God. But are the demons going to be saved? Certainly not. It takes more than just mental assent to a particular truth. Genuine faith involves the idea that we believe that God is going to reward those who diligently seek Him. I remember what the Bible says back in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off. Seeking God, diligently trying to know God and seek His will, a thirst and a hunger for righteousness, a desire to know the mind of God by studying His revealed will. And as we diligently seek after God, we realize that He will reward those who seek Him. Over in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "Who will render to each one according to his deed." In other words, the Bible says we're going to be rewarded in regard to how we live, in regard to how we use our physical bodies. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. If we diligently seek God and seek to serve God in our lives, then the reward is going to be glory and honor and immortality. And because the Apostle Paul had this kind of attitude, because he diligently sought after God, Paul could come near the end of his life and he could say in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For this reason I suffer all these things." And didn't Paul suffer tremendously for the cause of Christ? He was beaten. He endured so much heartache for the cause of Christ. He was stoned. He was forsaken. He gave up many things in this world that he could have possessed to serve God. He said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, without confidence in what God has said, without confidence in the promises of God, our faith is defective. Our faith is counterfeit. In contrast, though, to the attitude that the Apostle Paul manifested in his life, we think about an occasion when the actual followers of Jesus were filled with doubt and fear. Over in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "When Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea." Now, this is some kind of a storm here. The winds are blowing, the waves are pounding upon that ship. It appears that we may not make it through this ordeal. A great tempest. And the Bible says the boat was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." But Jesus said to them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" And the Bible says he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and suddenly there was a great calm, so that the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Here were individuals that did not manifest genuine faith. They didn't have faith in what Jesus could do for them and the provision that he could have for those disciples. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning of verse 6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." You know, we need to have confidence today, not only in God's ability to take care of us, but his desire to take care of us. We need to understand today how much God loves us, how deeply God cares for us. God has blessed us tremendously in a material way, a physical way. We've been blessed beyond our imaginations to be able to live in this country. God has the ability to provide for us. We see that on every hand. But then think about God's desire to provide for us. God wants us to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And God's desire to save us is seen in the ultimate sacrifice of the gift of his Son, who came and gave his life on the cross for our sins. And so when we think about genuine faith, authentic faith, I need to ask myself the question, do I have that kind of faith today? Is my faith authentic? Do I really believe not only that God is, but that he's going to reward me if I follow him and do what he says and not allow the things of this world and persecution and problems to keep me from diligently seeking him? I need to believe that with all of my heart. But you know, there are barriers to faith that we must deal with from time to time. Some doubt the Word of God. Some doubt what God says in his Word. We think about the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 7. He said to him, "I am the Lord. I brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And Abraham said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it?" I believe I probably would have asked the same question. He doubted the Word of God. And the sign that Abraham requested, not really trusting in God's promise, caused him darkness and horror. I can't help but think about the story of John the Baptist and his coming birth, in particular with Zacharias, his father. Over in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, the angel said to Zacharias, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call his name John." Of course, down in verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." He doubted the Word of God. And because he doubted the Word of God, we know that Zacharias was stricken dumb. He was mute. He was unable to speak. And of course, when the time for the birth of John the Baptist came, Elizabeth made it clear that his name was going to be John. They couldn't understand that. You haven't got any relatives named John. Why would you name him John? And on the eighth day of the circumcision, when it came time to make everything official, Zacharias took that writing instrument and he wrote, "His name is John." And instantly his tongue was loosed, and the Bible says he was able to speak. But you see, he doubted the Word of God initially. And that's a barrier to genuine faith. Another barrier to genuine faith, I believe, is self. Being selfish, being focused on self, doing what I want to do, not being inconvenienced in my life, not wanting to give myself completely over to God and His will because of what I want and because of what I desire. Over in Jude verse 11, the Bible says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They've run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah." You know, when you think about the downfall of these individuals, in each instance, ultimately, it was because of a focus on self. Being self-centered. Concerned more about how things affect me than how I can better serve God and better serve my fellow man. A desire for profit. A desire for power. A desire for prestige, things that can help me. That's a barrier to faith. We focus on self. Some people desire honor for themselves. That's a barrier to genuine faith. We find the example of Moses and Aaron over in Numbers chapter 20. And I'll be honest, I don't know how Moses did what he did for all those years leading those people. They murmured, they complained, they rebelled. And we know that they came and they needed water. And of course, God told Moses, "You speak to the rock, water will come." And in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 10, as those people murmured and complained, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" What's Moses doing here? Well, he's taking the credit for himself that belongs to God. He's allowing the glory and the spotlight, if you will, to be focused more on him than on God. Now, we know that we need to let our light shine, but we let our light shine that others may see our good works so that God may be glorified as a result. And so, these are some barriers to faith. But as I close today and think about what genuine faith is, I want us to realize that true faith is always obedient faith. Confidence in God, confidence in God's Word always leads to a diligent attitude of obedience. Now, one of the most popular doctrines today in the religious world is the doctrine of faith only. Today is the first day of the week, and if you want to take the time to turn on the radio and listen to various religious programming that can be heard on many radio stations throughout our area, or if you want to go home and if you've got cable television, you probably can turn the television to various kinds of religious programming, and you'll hear this doctrine being advocated in one way or another. And that is, if you just have a strong faith in God, if you just believe in God, you will be saved. It's a very popular idea. But this doctrine of faith only is clearly refuted by the book of James. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him?" And we simply ask James the question here, can faith without works, can faith apart from obedience and compliance to God's will save a man? Well, James gives us the answer in verse 15. He says, if a brother or sister is naked, destitute of food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now what would you think of me if I woke up in the middle of the night and my neighbor's house was on fire, burned to the ground? The next morning, I went over to my neighbor to maybe talk with them, and I said, well, I'm sorry you lost everything, but you got insurance. I'm sure things will turn out right for you. Hope the best for you. Walk away. What would you think about that? Am I helping that person? Genuine faith means that I don't just express things by what I speak verbally, it's by what I do. If I see somebody in need, if my neighbor whose house has burned to the ground is in need, I just don't wish him well. I do what I can to help him, to help alleviate his needs. That's what James says faith is. He goes on to, again, illustrate that in verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works, that is, works of faith, when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together, coupled together with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And then James says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And so we need to see that true faith is an obedient faith. I think about those folks over in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 12, that illustrate to us the idea that a faith that does nothing, receives nothing. We think about those lepers in Luke 17. Jesus entered a certain village and met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They believed the words of the Lord. And they believed the words, they went, and as they went, they were cured of that disease. But in contrast to these folks, in John 12, verse 42, nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him. They believed on Jesus, but their faith was worthless because it wasn't an obedient faith. They wouldn't confess him because they feared being put out of the synagogue, for they loved the pleasures of men more than the praise of God. You see, salvation is not at a point of faith. Salvation doesn't come when we just believe in God. Genuine faith, authentic faith, leads to action. It leads to a turning. It leads to obedience. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed. They turned to the Lord. They obeyed the gospel. They were baptized. They submitted their will to God's will. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, Jesus lamented over in Matthew chapter 13 about those people of his day that they wouldn't turn to him that they might be healed. That's why we're admonished in Isaiah 55 and verse 7, let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you have genuine faith today? Are you willing to, as we sing sometimes, surrender all to Jesus? Doing what God says, not because I agree with it. Doing what God says because he's God, because he's the creator. Doing what God says because he said to do it. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to think about having that kind of peace, isn't it? Peace with God. And that peace with God comes as a result of being justified by faith. Not a counterfeit faith, but a genuine faith, an authentic faith. I hope you have that kind of faith today. I hope you're living by that kind of faith. It may be today that you're not a Christian. You've never obeyed the gospel. I believe that you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I think it's commendable for you to have that kind of faith. But that kind of faith alone won't save you. That faith must be an obedient faith. And if you have an obedient faith today, you'll be willing to repent of your sins. Turn to the Lord. You'll be willing to confess him as the Son of God. And today you'll be willing to be baptized into Christ, into the Lord's death, where his blood was shed, so that your sins might be washed away. This morning, the